Many of you who are familiar with the Divine Science teaching have noticed that we talk a great deal about consciousness. Now, over the years, individuals have questioned why we do this. Why do we give so much attention to consciousness? Well, in its simplest form, consciousness is awareness, being aware of something. The ability to be aware applies to all aspects of life. If we know of something, we can have it, we can own it, or dismiss it. We can judge it, claim it, or let it pass on by. Now, in our time of daily living, there are occasions when it's necessary to make certain decisions and determinations. We do not want to make a mistake, to misinterpret or reach ill-advised or even inaccurate conclusion. So through trial and error, we have learned to prepare ourselves. Before each decision, we gather all available facts and information, learning what there is to know about the subject at hand. The ability to become aware is very helpful in a time of resolution and purpose. This reminds me of a real estate advertisement that I saw several years ago. A couple had just bought a brand new house. Driving through the neighborhood, they noticed a different housing development, one that they had not seen before. It looked attractive and inviting. However, they had already bought a new house. Their comment was, "I did not even know those houses were there," indicating if they had known of their existence, they would have considered that location. Now, it is true, they may not have bought a house in that development. However, they will never know for sure because they were not aware and they missed out. Not being aware narrowed their field of choices and selection. Divine Science is a spiritual teaching based on the principle of the omnipresence of God. It speaks of truth, the truth of us. We are of God. Contained in each one of us is that holy right seed, the spiritual idea. We call it the divine self, the one that has no beginning and no end. This is the one of eternal life. When we search for identity in this way, we become aware of our spiritual heritage, a divine inheritance, one that transcends the world of manifestation. Now, the world looks at itself, acknowledging life as physical form, confined and limited to a certain duration of time. Through observation, the human being notices there is a sequence associated with those years spent on this earth plane. First of all, we arrive in this world in the form of an infant. The toddler and the teenager follow the time of babyhood. Next comes that young adult, then the one of middle age, followed by the senior citizen, and then it is time to leave. The human being is aware of himself in this way, and as he travels through these stages of development, he assigns certain expectations and qualifications to each designation. Identifying himself as the human being, traveling through time, he experiences all that belongs to that designation. This is how he sees himself. He is aware of himself as a human being, accepting it as his identity. And yes, he will act accordingly. Furthermore, he will continue to do so until he has a different idea of him, until he is aware of himself as someone other than that man of dust, the one of limited duration. This is where divine science comes into play. It introduces that man of dust to a self that is far greater and finer than what appears to be. The Bible speaks of such a man. Jesus spoke of a spiritual heritage, and he did not claim it just for himself. He said, "My Father, your Father." We read this, and we ponder the words. Jesus also told us that God is spirit, that his kingdom is not of this world. And so we reason that if God as spirit is the Father of all humanity, then his child must not be the one expressing as the human form, the one that calls his biological parent Father. Since like produces like, then the self of a spiritual God must also be spirit, not confined to the world of manifestation. Could this passage really be talking about us? This opens up a completely new concept about life. Think about it. How does the individual of humanity change his idea of self from the one of duration to the one with no beginning and no end? How do we do this? For a very long time, we thought of life in terms of limitation and restriction. Certainly, we must broaden our horizon, lifting our view of life from humanhood to the one of eternal life. Now, those who are interested in a spiritual interpretation to life desire above all else to know this self of spirit, the one without length or duration of time. The question is, how do we become aware of this self? Well, let us remember that it is through an activity of individual consciousness that we become aware. So now you know why we spent so much time talking about consciousness. It is the only place where anything happens. However, we cannot just talk about it. We cannot simply tell someone that in order to enjoy a finer idea of life, they must become aware of themselves in a certain way, without giving some information as to why this is necessary, why it is possible, and instruction on how to do it. It is not a matter of putting on a new identity, as we would put on a coat or a jacket. Identity is not something that we add unto us, nor is it something that we can draw to us. This identity already exists. And so it is now a matter of becoming aware of something which already exists. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Now, to me, the first bit of instruction to the individual is to be aware that there is such a thing as a spiritual existence. Knowing it has existence is an important first step. However, knowing it has existence as us is what allows us to claim it. Without this understanding, we will not experience its presence, And without conscious awareness of its presence, we will not live as that being. To be honest about it, until we understand that God has existence as us, we will not go very far on the spiritual path. We simply have not gone deep enough for true revelation. We are merely considering concepts and ideas that we might find amusing and entertaining, keeping the truth just beyond our reach. Until we get over this hurdle, we will go no further. The spiritual self has a name. That name is Christ. Mental work will bear witness to this name. However, it will not experience it. It is the solitude of inner being that holds the key to the spiritual life. The Bible tells us to take no thought. It also says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. The work is done through the peace of mind that we find in the kingdom. Jesus told us to enter our closet, to shut the door, and commune with the Father in secret. The Father will hear us and reward us openly. Silently and secretly, we discover a new name, and we know without a doubt that that is who we are. Another bit of instruction to the individual is that since God is omnipresent, that means he is available and at hand. There is no place where God is not. It is not necessary to try to find God, get his attention, and somehow draw him to us. We must become conscious of him in a personal way. It is essential to feel the here-ness and the now-ness of God. Closer is he than breathing, and nearer than hands and feet. What is it that is closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet? Than that which is already in us. What is in us is Christ, the I Am Presence. Today's lesson reveals that the I Am in the midst of us is what is closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. So now it is a matter of getting to know the self of inner being. It is a matter of building a new consciousness, one that accepts a true idea of us. To shift our attention from the outer to the inner, we must not let our vision go outside to anyone or to anything. Now, at first, this may be a little more difficult than we thought it would be. After all, we spent much of our earlier years giving thought, plotting and planning our way through life. To give no thought means we can no longer rely on those methods we used in the past, that time when we thought we were in charge, when we thought we had to do it all by ourselves. Now, things may not have worked out to our liking, and even when they did not last. We changed our minds, or things happened beyond our control. Still, we felt that we were in charge, and we relied on what we thought would work. However, I have to ask how in charge we could have been when life shifted around us and things happened beyond our control. We definitely were not the one calling the shots or leading the parade. To live spiritually, we no longer depend on or rely on what seemed to work. I remember when I first discovered a spiritual teaching, I was relieved to learn that I did not have to do all of the work. At first, I was not sure what that meant or how it would come about, but it sounded good to me. Divine science taught me there is a principle of life, one that I could rely on. This was a welcome assurance. I had grown weary of relying on what I had put in place, especially when it was no longer reliable. It was a big step for me to give up personal control to an activity I had not yet acquired or even completely understood. Oh yes, I got it intellectually. I could affirm along with everybody else that Christ in me does the work. I am is the one of dominion, going before me, making every crooked place straight. However, until I was aware of the I am of me as me, until then, it would not be so for me. You see, when the ego is in charge, it makes decisions, thinking itself into conditions and circumstances of its own liking. And when this happens, we are too busy to be quiet, and we are too noisy to hear that still small voice. Consciously accepting a new idea, it does not happen overnight. It requires study and practice and much time spent in the silence of meditation. We relinquish personal control to Christ in a time of meditation, that time when we enter the silence and take no thought. Divine science also speaks a great deal about meditation. The purpose of meditation is to gain a conscious awareness of the presence of God, a conscious awareness of our oneness with God. This leads to an actual realization of the truth of our being. And in the solitude of that moment, the ego and the mental thought stand down. This is how we obey that instruction. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Awareness of the presence of God lifts us to a place where we receive the word of truth in its inner significance. This is the key to spiritual living. Seeing behind the appearance, learning beyond the obvious, and accepting beyond human comprehension. Divine wisdom, knowledge, and understanding reveal themselves to the heart and the soul of man, to the one who has lifted their eyes on high. Therefore, we practice, we study, we learn, and we attempt to live the truth revealed in our heart and in our soul. Our progress, or perhaps the lack thereof, should not cause us to become impatient or discouraged. After all, we are learning a new mode of life and developing a completely new consciousness of existence. This is important. Truth is not new. However, when we entered this life form as a baby, we forgot who we are. We took on that baby form, following through its stages of humanhood, considering it our identity, calling it by that name assigned by the biological family. In addition, let us not forget about ego. Ego has had its way for a very long time. It does not want to go away. It does not want to give up the influence it has exerted over us, trying to convince us that it knows best. Yes, it is true that Christ, the I Am Presence, is closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. It is also true that greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. It is true that we can trust the presence in us to do the work. We can rely on it to never leave us nor forsake us. These are not just mere platitudes expressing our desires, hopes, and wishes. We say that we believe it. It is now time to prove it. We have heard it said that in order to live our convictions, that we must talk the talk and walk the walk. It is time to get serious about our intent. We may begin by affirming what we know to be true of us. We state it and we declare it until its meaning comes alive in us. There is no power operating in our experience separate from our consciousness. This is a revolutionary statement. And when we accept it to be true above all else, we will have no other gods but the power in us. We give all glory to God. Jeremiah addressed it in this way. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not that rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. We should heed these words carefully. Said another way, let us not rejoice in the things, but rejoice that you know and understand me, the reality of your being and mine. Jesus taught that we all have one Father. He addressed Philip in this way. Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. The kingdom of God is within you. Greater works than these shall he do. How could anyone do these greater works if the same presence and power were not manifest as his being? Today's lesson reveals that Christ in us is our hope of glory. Let us choose this day to go beyond words and thoughts, to enter our closet and shut the door. God is in this place. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This morning we have the opportunity to become still and commune with our Father, which art in heaven. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In the solitude of this moment, we are alone with God. God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, available and at hand. The invitation is, come unto me, I will give you rest. There is no place where God is not. God is present each moment of every day, fulfilling himself as every good thing. The call to rest invites us to leave the realm of thought. We stop the chatter of words, and we allow God to reveal what is important, significant, and lasting. We are not wise enough to know what to do. When we are still enough, the inner ear hears marvelous things. Whatever the world may bring, I go with you. Turn here or turn there. I will give you the words to speak and the actions to take. When I travel the world of experience, divine guidance goes before me as light, illuminating my path. Whither shall I go? If I find myself in heaven, God is there. If I find myself in the valley of dark places, God is there. The promise is, I will never leave you. Let us know that this is so. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen. Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and form are his. Praise him, all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name. Amen. Go in peace.